you travel alone in this pilgrim way. There are heartaches and trials to bear. With a vision of Jesus. Help me sing it out. Oh, don't.
me is willing to do that this morning.
Amen.
God have his way. Musicians, your seats. Have you enjoyed the song service?
Amen.
It's always good to worship the Lord and just make a way for the presence of the Lord to come in. It's always wonderful, you know. And we bring a little portion of the Lord here. As everybody starts coming in, you just feel it more and more.
Yes.
Just more and more. And when the music starts, you just feel it even stronger and stronger. And it's just, there's nothing like it.
That's right.
There's nothing like it. We just thank the Lord for being so faithful. It's good to be with you today. Good to see each one, having our visitors here and the different ones. And so we just love the Lord and appreciate everybody praying for Sister Vicki. Amen. We're just, like Brother Daniel said, we're expecting her back at her post or duty. Amen. So we're going to come get her if she don't come on her own.
That's right.
So, amen. But we do appreciate the Lord touching her. She's a real trooper. Amen. We have a lot of those among us. And so we're just happy to be a part of a family together, everyone. And so let's go ahead and open our Bibles if you have them, and I hope you do. We'll read from Matthew chapter 16. We're entitled this is today, Living by Faith. Just glad to know that the Lord protected all of us and kept us all as the storms came through the other night. I know there's a lot of people who really lost a lot. We want to pray for them. That God would just, they would turn their eyes on him in that time of sorrow and trouble. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they say, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" You don't want to know what everybody else says. He wants to know what you think. Right?
Yes.
And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Yes.
"And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 16. Hebrews 11, 1. This is the chapter of faith. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Amen.
Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which are by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they had came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that yes. is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, we just want to just thank you for this time, this opportunity, this little gathering here today of your people. And so, Lord, we realize that if it was just us that came here, Lord, we would go away disappointed. But you promised to be in the midst of your people here. Gathered together, two or three. And so, Lord, you are the guest of honor today. We ask, God, that you would make yourself at home today. We just give you liberty to speak to us. Just have your way in the service this morning. Go to those that are streaming, Lord, and touch them also.
Yes,
we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Living by faith. Amen. How many is glad for the message?
Amen.
You know, I say that all the time. I thank God that God sent a prophet, because we can see things that we wouldn't see otherwise. Amen. God wants us to see through the eyes of a prophet. One of the things that Brother Branham told us was that God hides himself in simplicity.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Hides himself in simplicity and then turns around and reveals himself in the same. And you know, the scriptures tell us that to man, that preaching the gospel is foolishness.
That's right.
They look at the gospel. They look at us coming to church every time the doors are open and the things that we do. They look at that and it is foolishness to them.
Sure.
And God hides himself. They look upon that and they don't see anything there that would be desirous to them. They look on it with their intellect. They look on it with their tradition,
sir,
or whatever it
right.
is. And it means nothing to them.
Amen.
And so, but because of that, God just lays right there. They don't see anything valuable there. And they just call it foolishness.
Right.
And God can speak to his people through the simplest way. I heard a story years ago, and I don't remember what the ages was that it was in, but a particular person who was a persecuted Christian was being chased by, I guess, you know, people hunting him down, and he was fleeing, trying to get away, and he ran into a cave, and wasn't for just a little bit, you know, he could hear the people coming, they were searching for him, and he ran into this cave to hide in this cave, and of course, they came to the cave to check it out to see if they could find him in there, but just as soon as he went into the cave and was hiding in the darkness, he could see the opening of the cave like that, and he watched a spider come down and begin to weave a web. In just a few minutes, that spider had the web, and he could hear them coming, and they ran up to the cave up there, and somebody said, no, he's not here because that web's not been disturbed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And he got away and got to freedom.
Amen.
And lived his life and began to tell his story. See, God can use such a simple thing
sure
to reveal himself.
That's right.
He can use such a simple thing to do miracles in your life. When everybody else would look at it and say, there's nothing to that. So God, he hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself in the same.
Yes.
And so Brother Branham tells us, I heard him say it the other day, he said, God can hide himself in the scriptures, laying right there in the scriptures, can hide himself from all the theologians out there for their whole entire life.
Yes.
He can just hide himself laying right there, and they look at it and they don't see him. But he said, but yet God will reveal himself to whom he will.
That's Amen. Right.
He will reveal
That's
himself
right.
to who he wants to reveal to.
Yeah, thank you.
And
Lord.
So thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for revealing himself to us.
Yes.
And so the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, the entire revelation of the Bible, is God revealing himself in Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Christ Jesus is the Word. Brother Brown tells us in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says that Jesus said he is the principal theme of the entire Bible.
That's right.
He said, if you read the Bible and you don't see Christ on every verse of it, go back and read it again, see? If you can't see Christ in every verse
That's
of the
good.
Bible, then you read it again because you have missed something.
Amen.
The Bible is Christ.
That's
right. He is the Word. And when you read, in the beginning, God created, there's Christ.
Amen.
He said, from that spot, there in Genesis, from that all the way to the Amen and Revelation,
Glory.
Every word testifies of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And I can tell you that as time goes on, the more I see, that's exactly right.
Yes,
because
sir.
This entire Bible is the revelation of God
Amen.
In Jesus Christ.
Praise
and
God.
So he reveals himself to us. And when he comes forth to his bride in a revelation. Right?
That's right.
It is a revelation. And remember, Brother Graham tells us that we need to pray
yes, we do.
For revelation.
Sure.
And for the overcoming power that comes with revelation.
Amen.
He tells us in the Church Age book, he says, as I've already said, this book of Revelation is the consummation of scriptures, and it even placed right exactly in the canon of scriptures right at the end. Now you can know why it says that anyone who reads or even hears is blessed. It is the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil.
Amen, that's right.
And you can see why they who add to or take away from it would be cursed. It would have to be so, for who can add to or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy?
Yep.
I mean, who could do that? People
right
do it all the time.
Yep.
Right? People out there in the world do it all the time. But you and I know that you cannot add to or take away from something perfect, because if you do, it'll no longer be perfect.
That's right.
Right? You don't need any more, but you better not take away and make it less, right? It's just exactly what it needs to be.
Yeah.
And so who could do that? Take away from a perfect revelation of God. And mm-hmm. if you do that, who can overcome the enemy?
Right.
It is that simple, that there is nothing of such great prevailing power as the revelation
yes.
of the Word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so we should pray for revelation, because that's the thing that gives us the overcoming power.
That's right. Amen.
We read there in the scriptures where he said that, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Right? And
yes.
he said, well, they said, some say this, some say something else. But he said, no. Who do you say?
Right.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what somebody else says about Jesus Christ. What we're going to be having to answer to when we stand before him is our relationship with him,
right.
what we saw in him. Who do you say this is?
Amen.
Right? That's the thing that makes the difference. And so when we're answering, that's what I was said about a man I mentioned the other day, you know, that he was saying, yeah, I could go to church, but I'd be sitting there, there'd be a hypocrite next to me in church. And the thing about it is, God's not going to ask you about the hypocrite
right.
next to you.
No, sir.
He's going to ask you about you. What was
Amen.
Your attitude
right.
toward the word that had been given in your day?
Right.
That's the thing that he's going to be doing, is asking that. And so he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they, well, you know, some of these say this, but no. What do you say?
Amen.
Who do you say that it? And of course, Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Brother Branham comes along and he corrects the Protestants and he corrects the Catholics and says, you know, the Catholics say that they built it on Peter and so forth. The brother said, no. He said, what it is that God is building his church upon revelation.
Amen.
Revelation
right.
of the Word, right?
Yes.
Revelation. You know, so what Peter had there was Peter was able to look and say, I know who you are. You're Christ. You're the Christ of the living God. So he understood what the
sure.
word was that was in his midst at the present time.
Amen.
And that
right.
has been with the people throughout all ages. Anytime
right.
God was going to do something, it was part of the revelation of Jesus Christ, even though they didn't know it. And it's to be able to recognize that and know what Christ is at the moment,
yes.
that's the thing that Satan can't fight against.
Yeah.
And so he tells us here that the gates of hell cannot prevail against that.
Mm-hmm.
And so right. every believer must have revelation active in their life.
Amen.
Now we go through right. seasons. We have times where there's lots of revelation, or a time where there's not a whole lot.
Right.
And you have your own individual walk, but the whole entire thing is is that revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, your personal communication with him must be active all through your life, right?
Amen.
It's a whole lifelong thing there, because how can you have a personal relationship with him when you don't even know his voice?
Right?
But we know that believers do know his voice.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so we're glad for that.
Yes.
So the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So Brother Graham goes on to tell us in the rapture message, and I'll read it just a moment, but he says that we're talking about revelation now. God revealing himself to his people through revelation.
Yes.
And he says the rapture is a revelation.
That's right.
He said, he goes back and he talks about how the scriptures talk about there will be scoffers.
Right?
That's first, true. There will be scoffers.
That's right.
In the day when he's going to bring a revelation to his bride, there's scoffers. So he says, did you know that the Protestant Catholic Church is predicted in the last days to be blind just the same to the scriptures?
Absolutely.
With Christ on the outside trying to get in? Mm-hmm. Because thou sayest, see, he didn't do it. He didn't say it. They did. The church said it. The church said, I am rich and increased, rich and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art miserable, poor, wretched, naked, blind, and don't know it. Revelation 3.
Yes.
He said, there you are, back to the blindness again, trampling over the things of God as if they didn't mean nothing to them.
Right.
Right? Scoffing and making fun of it.
Yep.
That's what the Bible said.
That's right.
But to the church, to the bride,
come on now.
The revelation is the rapture is a revelation
Amen.
To her. It's revealed to her. And that revelation, the true bride of Christ will be waiting for that revelation
Amen.
Of the rapture.
Yes, sir.
That means waiting for it.
Yes.
Amen. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith, because faith is a revelation.
Yes, it
because
is.
It's something that's revealed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember it was revealed to Peter? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, it was.
Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. Right. No one had told you. You didn't see it. It come from Almighty God.
Amen.
Right? And so you cannot have a revelation without it being faith, because faith is a revelation, because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation, and faith is something that's been revealed to you like it was to Abraham, that can call anything contrary to what it had been, that had been revealed to him as though it was not so. And now faith, that's what faith is a revelation of God, and the church is built upon revelation, the
Amen.
Whole entire body.
That's Amen? Right.
And so think about that, especially here at the end, right, where the complete full word's been revealed, right? And faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. So if a greater portion of the word has been given to the church, should be a greater level of faith that accompanies with
All
it.
Right,
greater level of revelation that comes with that. And so the word is a word body.
Amen.
Yes,
and the
amen.
Word body, the entire body, is being revealed to the bride here at the end time. And it is a revelation.
That's right. Yes, it is.
Amen. And so we're thankful for that.
Yes.
So to the bride, the rapture is a revelation, and she will be watching for that, and so she's watching for something that will change her.
Yes, amen.
Amen? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a revelation to sweep over and change our whole bodies. But brother, sister, I found something many years ago that changed me.
Right. Yes, sir.
So in my way of looking at it, the day that I had an experience with God and realized he had changed what was inside me, I was already being raptured right then.
Amen. Sure.
Amen. By the word, just one phase, one cycle as we go on, one after the other. And so we're looking for something that will change us. I'm looking for something that will change me today and tomorrow and make me a better Christian.
Yes,
I'm looking for something that will help me better be a better witness. Right?
Amen.
And something that gives me more faith, that I can pray the prayer of faith more often.
Amen.
Amen. And so I trust that all believers are doing that.
Amen. Yes, amen.
And so we live, that's the title of this, we live by faith, because faith is based upon the word of God that's been revealed to you.
Yes.
Your faith in your life, what you do, is based upon what has been shown to you by the Holy Spirit, not from man, not that somebody tells you. Even here, I'm talking to you. It's flesh and blood being used to talk to you, but it doesn't mean anything to you unless it rings out inside you where the Holy Spirit is confirming that, right? And so when God is speaking to you, then that brings revelation to you. And now there's something you can have faith in.
Yes.
There's something that you can act upon. And so that faith that you have is based upon the word of God that's been revealed to you.
Yes.
And that gives you overcoming power.
Amen.
Overcoming power to live and walk accordingly.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the revelation should produce an action. Or actions in our life. So we go back and we read there. It said, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Listen, both boys heard the same stories.
Come on now.
Both boys living in the same environment, right?
Right.
They both listened to that story about what happened there in the Garden of Eden. And Cain comes up with the idea that he's going to bring fruits of the ground as a sacrifice.
Right.
But something happened in Abel. Something happened in him, and he saw it different,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And the scripture said, by faith. So here this whole concept is that before you can have faith, it has to be based on something, and it's based upon something God has revealed to you.
Sure.
And once he's revealed that to you, don't expect the rest of the world to go along with that, because it hasn't been revealed to them.
Right.
But when God reveals something to you, expect it to be to you.
Yes, amen.
Right? It may not even be next to the people in church with you, right? Because it's an individual walk.
That's
when he reveals something to you, then now their faith goes to work on that.
Yes,
in the midst of all kinds of oppositions, faith goes to work on what God has shown you, and that should produce an action in your life where you begin to live out something that declares you that you believe what God has showed you.
Amen.
Right? And so Abel, he caught this revelation. There was no Bible written.
Come
there
on.
Wasn't no message books. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
But God somehow spoke to him. He believed that.
Hallelujah.
And because he believed that, he went into action. And
it
caused him to have a sacrifice that was different than what his brother did.
Amen. That's right.
And I think we could probably say this safely, is that if there'd been anybody else out there that didn't have revelation, they all would have said, yeah, Cain's got that right idea.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Cain's got the right. The whole world will say, oh, this is the way it is. But that doesn't add up to the person that's got revelation burning in their heart.
That's right. Amen.
That's the difference. Amen?
Amen.
And so he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And God testified. Him even being dead, having been killed by Cain, yet he testified that God testified that he, Abel, was righteous. Right? And so, because he believed, right?
Yes. Amen.
And so, Abel was righteous. We could say, oh, he was righteous because he offered to God because of the sacrifice that he made.
Yes.
But I will tell you, knowing the gospel, knowing what we know now, I would tell you that Abel was righteous before he ever did make that sacrifice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he believed. He believed what God had showed him. And I'll go even further to tell you this, that Abel was righteous even before he believed because God had purpose to give that revelation to him. So you realize when God gave the revelation to Abel, that pretty much settled it.
Yes, it does.
And so we are like Abraham, right? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as for righteousness.
That's right. Amen.
And then Abraham began to walk and do things accordingly. And so you see, God knows what's in our heart. He knows what's there. And whether you've done anything yet, he already knows, and he counts it as righteousness because if you believe, and of course you will believe because he's giving you the revelation.
Praise the Lord.
He gives you that revelation. So by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And God testified that he was righteous. We read there, we said, by faith Enoch, right? By faith Enoch, he walked with God. And so I keep saying this, and I hope everybody don't get tired of hearing me saying that, but if everybody in that day walked with God, then it wouldn't have meant anything for the scripture to say that Enoch walked with God.
Right. Right.
So you see, God, you can get great information just out of one sentence, right?
Yeah.
Enoch walked with God in a day when nobody else was.
Right, that's right.
Right?
Amen.
And he walked with God, And the scripture said that he had this testimony before his translation.
Yes.
Before he was translated, sure, he had a testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
So you know that as Enoch was walking along and living, the scripture said, by faith, he walked with God. By faith, he did these things.
Yeah.
So he had a revelation.
Yes, he did.
He had something God had revealed to him, something God had spoke to him, and it was different than what the rest of the world was getting. But he walked with God. He believed that revelation.
Hallelujah.
And it changed his pathway. It changed
That's
the
right.
way he walked.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. It changed the way he walked. And so he just walked with God. And at some point, God just took him. And he was no longer found. We realize, Brother M tells us, that that's a type of this last church age, this last age, we're the bride. Because Enoch was the seventh from the first Adam. And we're the seventh age from the last Adam.
Uh-huh.
And so this last age will walk with God.
Yes.
Right? This last age will have a revelation.
Yes.
A faith in that revelation. We'll walk with God, and at some point God will take him. Right?
Yep. Amen.
And so we realize that Enoch had the entire revelation of the Word.
Yes. Yes, sir.
You know why? Brother Bam said the first Bible was in the stars.
Yep. Yes.
Right? It's all told up there, right? It's all up there. He said the second Bible was in the pyramid. And guess who built the pyramid?
Yep, right.
Enoch built it. And in that pyramid, it tells the entire story of the Old Testament all the way up through the New Testament, all the seven church ages, the coming of the king, the king's chamber. It's all there, and the rejecting of the stone. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Enoch had the entire revelation of the Bible, and he put it in stone form.
Yeah.
So he had the revelation. Right?
Right?
Could you imagine him building that? And I don't know how long it took, but let's just say it take him 60 years or something like that. And he builds, and he gets right down, and he's going to put that capstone on, and God says, no, don't do that. Mm-hmm. What do you mean don't do that? We're almost done. I've been working 60 years on this, and now you're telling I got 15 more minutes left to finish this, and you're telling me not to put that on there?
Uh-huh. Come on.
But he believed God.
Yes.
Because that stone couldn't go there because he was rejected, right?
That's right.
Amen? And so God used Enoch to build that pyramid. And here's the thing. The Bible refers to it, I think, as a testimony, right?
Yes.
That pyramid was a testimony that judgment was coming.
Right.
That flood was coming. And right. Enoch built that thing. And when the flood came, it stood the judgment. Everything else was washed away and all that stuff, but there's that testimony that was built by Enoch. It stood the test of that judgment was coming. And here's the thing. That is a type of the bride of Christ, right? Seven church ages and the capstone coming down. This church that's been growing throughout these seven ages and being capped off now with this message, this is a testimony that has been built and judgment is coming. And that judgment, when it sweeps through this land, there's going to be one thing left standing, and that's the bride of Jesus Christ to stand the judgment.
Amen.
And so we realize Enoch was the type of that. But the scripture said Enoch, by faith, he did that. So it was a revelation. And what I'm wanting to really capitalize to get to you today is that revelation produces actions.
That's right.
It's the actions of Abel that got him written in the scriptures.
That's right.
It's the actions of Enoch that got him. It wasn't just that he believed, but he did something about that belief.
That's right.
And that created a story. And guess what? That story, every one of those, that story was a part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. God revealing himself through Enoch.
Amen.
God revealing himself through Abel.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly what he was doing. The entire Bible.
That's right.
So it's by faith. The scripture said by faith Abraham went out. God said go out, leave your father, leave this land. And said I'm a land that I'm going to give you. But he didn't even know where it was yet. How many of us would do that? Sell your house and hit the road and not know where you're headed yet. There have been people do that, right?
Yes, sir.
But you see what I'm saying? Leave your family, leave all this, and leave all these things in the land of many gods and everything you've known, and come out and worship one God.
Yeah.
Could you imagine what his friends and family thought?
Oh my.
You're what?
Yeah, come on. Surely it
is. You're leaving?
Uh-huh.
And we got all these gods that take care of us, and we're prosperous here.
Yeah.
And you're leaving at the voice of one God?
Yeah. Yeah, sure he was.
Think about that. But he did.
Yes, he did.
So, but the scripture said by faith. So something was revealed to Abraham, and then he put that into action. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He became the father of faith.
That's right.
Because he acted upon what God had revealed to him.
Yeah.
Amen. The scripture tells us by faith, Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches. And by the way, just an offshoot for topic of Godhead, it said Christ in Moses' day. The reproach of Christ. Because most people think Christ didn't come along until the New Testament. Amen. By faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Right.
By faith, a
yes.
revelation, and that revelation caused him to live his life differently.
Yes.
And became scripture, became
yes,
part
sir.
Of the revelation of God to his people. And so you realize that all of these people live by faith, live by
yes.
faith in a revelation.
Yes. Oh yes, come on.
Right? If we're living our lives every day as message believers, if we're living our life and what we are doing and what our actions are and what we do day to day,
come on.
If our life is not built upon a revelation that has struck our heart,
come
then
on.
What are we doing?
Right.
Right?
Come on.
And I say that because we get it's so easy for us to get into a tradition.
That's right.
You come
true.
To church because of a tradition. You pay your tithes because it's a tradition. Yeah, God tells us, but it becomes a tradition.
Okay.
And the whole thing of it is it should be more than that. It should not be just a tradition. It should be because there's a revelation burning in your heart
right.
to do
sure.
that for the one that has been revealed to you.
Amen.
And so it needs to be based upon revelation. And so we must act upon what God has given us. God has shown us that it's not three gods. It's
Amen.
One.
Yeah, that's right.
God has shown us these things, you know, and all these different revelations come from the message. And all that should translate into a walk. Something different. And if it follows the pattern, which it does, it will, just like it is all through scriptures, that becomes part of the revelation. Right? That's written. Those things are written in scripture because they live by faith. And it was expressing God. And so, Brother Rem said, if there will be another book of Acts written, right? Right? If there could be.
Yes.
And be telling them about what happens in believers today.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And so, these all live by faith, by a revelation that came into their heart, and they lived by it and acted by it. And through that, the scriptures, we didn't read it, but you go on in the rest of Hebrews 11, says they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained
yes.
promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and went on and on, and it tells about all the things that they did. Right?
Yes.
How did they do that? By living according to the revelation
yes.
that God had given to them.
Amen.
A personal communication from God to them that they acted upon and lived.
Right. Amen.
Now, I always caution on this because you got these people say, God spoke to me and told him to go do something contrary to the word.
Right.
If God's going to be speaking to you, which he is, it'll always be with the word. And
that's
it will
right.
be with this word today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
With what God has revealed in this hour.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And by that, you can subdue kingdoms. Right? You can subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, receive dead back to life again.
Sure.
It goes on and tells
sure.
all those things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
By faith, by somebody who's willing to live and act out according to a revelation that's been revealed to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's living by faith.
Yes.
But the scripture goes on. We didn't read it, but you, if you're Bible students, which I hope you are, you know that this is the rest of Hebrews chapter 11. But the scripture goes on and says that God, having promised all those people we read about there, that in some of them we didn't, they didn't receive the promise.
Right?
Right? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us cannot be made perfect. Mm-hmm. And so when I read that, I always, when I think about that, it makes me feel little. Because when you read about the acts of faith and all the great things that they did, right there, just read the whole thing in Hebrews 11.
Yeah.
People who, you know, on the pain of death, lived according to the revelation of God in them. And I look at that, and then the scripture said, but you know what? They didn't even have the promise yet. They didn't even have, they lived like that. They quenched the violence of fire, and they stopped the mouths of lions, and great armies were defeated at the prayers of just one or two people.
Yeah. Right.
And they did all that, and they didn't even have the promise.
Right.
And they couldn't even be made perfect yet.
How about it?
Right? That's what he says. And they couldn't even, weren't even made, because they cannot be made perfect without us.
Amen.
So the whole concept there is that when God was going to come into the New Testament, into the bride of the New Testament, uh-huh. and what he's going to do in her is going to be so powerful and so all-encompassing that then those of the Old Testament can be made perfect right along underneath us, with us. But they're held back until God does what he's doing in this New Testament.
Yes, sir.
Bride.
That's right.
They're held back. And so it always makes me feel little, because I don't feel like I've stopped the mouths of lions or quenched the violence of fires in my life. And perhaps maybe we have and didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Each one. We've had faith work. We know that. But you understand, it's like, what is God doing in us?
Yeah.
That he's going to say that this will go ahead and go back and swing back and grab them, and they can be made perfect now with us. But they can't be made perfect until what God does in us is complete.
That's right.
Amen? That's what Brother Ram said. He you know, and it's not just, you know, let me quote it and I'll go back. He said, it takes this message to resurrect the Lutherans and the Wesleyans and the one. And so you look at that, it takes this end time bright message to resurrect, to bring all those dead in Christ out of the graves. We have to come to what God's doing, and that'll draw them out of the graves. But according to Hebrews, it's not only just the New Testament saints that have gone on, but even the Old Testament saints are not made perfect yet until God does what he's doing through us.
Amen.
And so, now you understand, it makes me feel little, you know, like humble, like, Lord, what are you doing? Because I don't feel like that what he's doing in my life or what I've accomplished or whatever it might be would be sufficient to go back and bring those people up and make them perfect. But God said that what he does in his bride, right, this New Testament, they will be made perfect because he's given to us the promise,
yes.
but had not given it to them. Right?
Right. Right.
They were just like Abraham. They were looking for it. Looking for it. But now in the New Testament, we have it.
Amen.
And not just in the New Testament, having the Holy Ghost, but here at the end of the New Testament, having the revelation of Jesus Christ
sure.
being given to her to such a place till he comes down and she becomes him.
Yes, amen.
See, that's what
that's
it is.
That's right.
And so it makes you want to step back and think for a little bit and say, Lord, you know, and be more sincere. Because there's a lot riding on what God's doing,
yes.
right? It's not going to fail. It's going to happen. It's going to work. We're not worried about that. But, you know, just like Brother Brennan says, is our life worthy of the gospel?
Yes.
So, all these did not obtain the promise, but having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Without us. But with us, they will.
Yes.
So, the revelation should be creating actions in our lives, actions accordingly. Because if revelation did what it did in their lives in the Old Testament, and they didn't even have the promise yet, what should it do for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Not just New Testament, but what should it do for us all the way down here where all the confusion's been cleaned up?
Right.
That revelation should create tremendous life,
right,
tremendous expression, word being fleshed out in our day. Amen. And if we're not, if what we do day in and day out is just from tradition or just whatever, then we're missing something.
Amen.
Because the revelation should translate into a life lived like nobody's ever lived before,
Amen,
except Christ himself.
That's right.
Amen. That's the difference that it should make. That's the thing that we long for in our lives. So we realize we're not saved by works, right?
Amen.
I keep saying this will produce a life. But remember, God knows that you believe it and you're already righteous, just like Abraham. You're already righteous because you believe, but it does work out.
Yeah.
Right? You do come and you do things accordingly. And that's why Brother Ramsey comes along at the end and he preaches the next service after invisible union of the bride of Christ. He preaches, works is faith expressed. Right? And you take the first letter of each one of those, works is faith expressed, it spells what? Wife. Right? The night before, it was an invisible union. There was an invisible union between Christ and his bride. But here's the thing, what does a wife do? Right? Works is faith expressed. If the wife really loves him, she goes into action because she loves him. Not just by fear or whatever that is. She's not trying to gain his favor or whatever. She's already gained his favor. She just moves into action because she believes, because she has that relationship with him.
Yes.
And so these things are all being measured out as the message was unfolding, the title of the sermons, God showing us that there is an action that comes from having a revelation. Works is faith expressed. Brother Bam said that Paul is speaking that what God sees in the heart, you know, but James talking about what man sees, right?
Yeah.
God knows and believes and it's settled, right? He knows what you have there in your heart as a revelation and that you believe it. And
sure,
it's righteous. But man doesn't know what's in your heart. So man needs to see what you believe.
Sure.
Right? God don't need that. You're saved already if you believe.
Right.
But man needs to, somebody needs to live out. Somebody needs to do what Enoch did.
Yep.
See, he had a testimony before his translation that he pleased God.
Yes,
people had to look back and go, you know what? He walks with God. Because look,
sure,
there's things about his life that only God can do.
Sure. Amen.
And God's happy with him. And he's the type of us. It should be the same way.
Amen.
There should be that people that work with you, people that know you, that whether they tell you or not, they should say, you know what?
Hello?
There's something about that person.
Yes,
they walk with God and God blesses with them. God is pleased with them.
Come on now.
That's the way it should be.
That's right.
And if that's not there, then we need to ask ourselves, well, what are we doing? See, because if we live by the revelation, by faith, we're going to flesh out things that's going to be different, and yet there will be a testimony there. Amen.
Amen.
So, the wife, she, you know, as I said, we're not saved by works, but by faith.
Sure.
And we don't do the things we do just because it's a performance-based religion or something like that.
No.
That's not it. But we do what we do because we love the one that's been revealed to us.
Amen.
We want to do it for him. Amen. I think about when Brother Bram went into that little place there and he's talking about all the police officer with his hand around a woman or whatever, you know, playing slot machine or whatever it was, and he just was real critical.
Yeah.
And the Lord told him to go over there behind the whatever machine over in the corner, whatever it was. Brother Bram saw his own sins going up and hitting Jesus being like a bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, the bride of Jesus Christ, she wants to look at her life and she wants to say, I want my life to accent him. I want my life to work in continuity with him. I don't want my life to be a reproach to him or my life to be a bad mark on him. Right? I don't want my life to make it more difficult for him. I'm speaking as a man, you understand, because God, you know, but You understand?
Yes.
I want my, and you should want your life to be something that's good for him, that represents
Amen.
The kingdom, that's not representing this world and this reprobate things and all these things, but to live in this hour like Enoch when he walked with God. Nobody else was, but he was.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? That we will walk with God in such a way that people could look at us and say, you know, there's a testimony there. Right? And so that our life is in agreement with the gospel.
Yes.
Doesn't confuse the gospel. Makes the gospel clear.
Right.
Clarity to those who look upon you. That others could look on you and they might see denominational world and all the teachings of the denomination and be confused. But they can look at you in clarity. That they have a clear sight. That they see Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See? God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
And our life should transmit into the lives of others clarity.
Yes.
To get away from all this confusion. And so we realize that. So like Abraham, we believe and it is counted to us for righteousness. So the life we live today should be by revelation and not by tradition.
Amen.
Get back to the place where that there's a love burning in our hearts like the brother was talking
yes.
about in the song there. I remember.
Yes.
I could take it right where I was at.
Right.
When God came in and made a difference in me.
Yeah, sure.
There was a change.
Amen.
And I could take you right where
yes.
I was at. It was on a Thursday night. I'd have to go back to the calendar, but I could pick it out and tell you when it was.
Yeah.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. To go back and think about what he did.
Yes.
And realize how far he's brought us and how faithful he is. And so get back to the place. We don't want to be like that first church age and lose our first love.
That's
right.
Right.
It happens. I'd say probably every person out here, you lose your first love. But it shouldn't be that way. Right? Life gets in the way and all that. But let's come back.
Amen.
Yes. Let's
Amen.
Come back. You know, an old man and woman, it's true, you know, that your marriage goes through the same steps as the church ages.
Sure.
Right? You get married, but then next thing you know, you lose your first love and then bitterness comes in. Smyrna.
Come on.
Dominating female,
true,
all this, right?
Good job.
Dark ages, all kinds of, right?
Yes.
But just hold tight.
Uh-huh.
Because brotherly love, that love's going to come back,
yeah.
Right? And that's the way it is. A man and woman, they do all these things, but as they get older, they realize they love each other more than ever.
That's right. Yes, right? That's right.
They yeah. brave through the storms.
Yes.
What about our Christian experience?
Right.
We all go through that, right? But we don't want to just stay in the dark ages. We don't, you know, I think I was saying this here a while back, you know, but when you're just so in love, then these trials don't do nothing. They don't, you know. But if you start moving into bitterness, you lose that first love, you're not on fire, there's not a flame, then when things come along, then when you disagree, it's a lot harder.
Sure.
Right? And so you brave through all these storms, and it follows that path. But what I'm just trying to get to is that, yeah, we know that sometimes we lose that first love and so forth. But let's come back to
yes.
that love.
Yes.
Let's come back to that place where we realize he's been through us through thick and thin with us
yeah.
and been faithful all along the way.
Yeah.
And in all of our mistakes, he didn't cast us away. But he's still here speaking to us.
Yes, he is.
Speaking the words of eternal life. And so to bring back around to that love for him, for how faithful he's been. And remember, to the last age, he says that attribute that he expressed was the amen, the faithful and true witness. The amen, the beginning of the creation of God. And so he's come here at this end time to show us that he is faithful. Amen. So, get back to that love. You know, the scripture said we love him because he first loved us, right?
That's right.
Right? We sing that song mm-hmm. because he first loved us.
Yes.
In proof of his love, I'm about done. I'll read this last quote here. This is in the exposition of the church ages also, speaking about the love of God. He says, the cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Because a lot of people think that when you go through hard times, God's not approval. Then he said, "The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval, and neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval." We measure things wrong.
Sure.
Right? But here's what we should measure. His approval for any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Right? Before we ever did any good, any evil, anything like that. Like the scripture said, before Jacob and Esau, before either one had done anything wrong or whatever, Jacob have a love, Esau have a hate.
Sure.
Right? And it's the same thing for you. If he loves you tonight, it's because he loved you before the world ever began.
Amen.
His love is elective. You can't change it.
Right.
Nothing you can do can change that status, wherever it is, and we believe that he loves us. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so to begin with, right? It's his word. He said so and manifested that he did love us.
Yes.
For he did something. What he did? For he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit,
Amen.
Placing us as sons. In other words, in my words, he revealed himself to you.
Yes, sir.
Right? The proof of his love is in the fact that he has called you out. That he didn't let you just drift right on out there into eternity without coming to him. And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he has in his wisdom allowed to come to pass.
Yes.
It makes no difference what you endure physically in this life, whether good or bad, they're not a measuring, right? They're not a measurement. The measurement is the fact that you know that Jesus Christ has spoken to you and revealed himself to you.
Yes.
And that you have that daily, that revelation reciprocate. There's the love. There's proof.
Yeah.
Because you realize there's only one form of eternal life, and that's him. And if he put that in there, you cannot die.
Amen.
You cannot die.
That's
you might
right.
change dwelling places. His body might go. But you are alive. You
yes.
cannot die.
That's right.
That's proof of his love, not anything else. Those people over there in Ukraine, how many knows there are believers in Ukraine? You
Amen.
Know what?
Sure.
Those people, I hope they see this and know this, understand this. All of us going on over there in Ukraine and Russia and all that they could just ignore all that and say, but I know the revelation of Jesus Christ lives in my heart.
Yeah.
And that's proof of his love. And therefore, because I have a revelation, then I'm going to conduct myself according to that revelation. I'm going
yes.
to live out so others can see in the flesh what God knows in the spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so we'll live out works as faith is expressed. Amen. To be a testimony that others can see so others can say, there's some people who walk with God. Amen?
Yes.
So that revelation is proof of the love. And because you have that revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Cannot prevail against it.
Definitely.
So what should we be focusing on? Should we be focusing on the good and the bad things that happen in our life, the successes and failures we have in the physical?
Come on.
Or should we be focusing upon the revelation that God
sure.
has put in our heart?
That's right.
That's what we should focus upon.
Amen.
And then give our lives to that and do everything we can to, by faith, live according to that revelation that God
Amen.
Has given. It's not easy. It's not easy working around everybody who are Trinitarians.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you find yourself in that situation. So you by joy conduct yourself accordingly. Even though you find yourself with a boss that's got it in for you for some unknown reason or whatever it is, you just
sure.
fill in the blank of whatever it is you're having to deal with.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
But by that revelation, we live in the midst of all these things with joy in our heart. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. We'll let the musicians come. I think we have a baby dedication here in just a few minutes. So we'll sing a song for a minute and worship just for a little bit, and then we'll have Jordan and Anna bring Griffin up. Let's bow our hearts to him just for prayer. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful message that you've given in this day.
Yes, Lord,
Lord, that you didn't leave us drifting. You didn't leave us, Lord, just like the woman there at the well. You didn't leave her. You came by her way. You came by our way in this day, Lord, that you might visit us and tell us and reveal to us who you are, that we might leave these other things and our testimony be to you and you alone. We love you, Lord. We just pray that you would just take these words that have been spoken this morning, chopped up, and just, Lord, I'm just a country boy from the South, but Lord, I try to express to your people what's burning in my heart and the way you speak and flow through me. I pray, God, that you would take those things and you fix them and you straighten them out in the hearts and the minds of your people, Lord, that it could be something they could be strengthened by and they could grow by. Lord, I pray that as this day goes forward, and there will be a great level of living by faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. like him.
Amen.
Amen. I like that song we sung at the beginning there a while ago. Can't even think of the name of it, but you're the only God, no God created by,
yes,
by man's hands.
God
Amen.
Alone.
You're a God alone.
Yes,
not all this stuff out here.
Amen.
You know, man thinks he's got all these ideas and he's going to fix this and fix that. And we're going to start eating man-made meat and get rid of all the cows and all that kind of stuff. He thinks he's fixing the stuff and not realize he's bringing more death.
Yeah.
But,
it's true.
Amen. But God is God alone.
Amen.
And we just appreciate what he does for us. So let's sing, as Brother Branham always did, bring them in. Amen. Bring the little ones up. Samuel's mother did, Lord. They just want to give him to you and ask God that you bless his life all the days. Lord, that you keep the evil one from him and just may he keep a sanctified life in your presence, Lord. That God, you'd do great things if you should tarry and he would grow up, Lord, that there would be gifts laying in his life that would be able to go out and touch the lives of others, Lord. We ask God that you would guide Anna and Jordan, that they would be able to raise him in a godly environment, Lord. We pray, God, that this church also, we would join together with them, and each one of us would take our responsibility to help watch over him as we do all of our young people. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this little young man. We ask for your blessings upon him and his family. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. Let's sing this as we go.